Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Defont LeRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Westerly, Rhode Island, this is episode 231 of the Por Favor, Manténgase Alejado de las Podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island. Good evening, Mr. Klinsman.
Good evening, Michael. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. August 1st, Bill.
Yep.
The kids back to school down there? The weasels are back?
No, not
in school?
Yet.
Oh, okay.
Not yet, but I've heard advertisements for going back to school and lunch boxes and clothes, so...
Ooh, lunch boxes, huh?
Yeah.
I saw this guy I used to work with at the radio station way back in the day, like back when I first got out of college. He works at a station in Atlanta now, and he posted on his Facebook page that all the kids in Atlanta are back at school August 1st.
Oh, so we must be... I bet we're close, because the South goes back really early.
Right, which is weird to me, because isn't August like the hottest month?
Yes. July and August are pretty much the same.
Yeah, but they get out super early, so you'd think they would start, like, September and end in June like the rest of it, like the Northeast does.
I don't know what the reasoning is.
I mean, it's like everything's air-conditioned anyway, the schools, I assume.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know the reasoning.
Neither do I, Bill.
A lot of it has to do with farming.
Oh, okay.
Or it used to. Because a kid I work with, he grew up in Maine, and he said the schools in Maine get like a 2-week vacation during the potato harvest. Because so many kids in Maine, like, or traditionally at least, they'd have to miss school to help harvest the potatoes on the potato farms because it was such a short season. What do you think about that?
It's an interesting fact, if that is true.
It's probably a bunch of baloney, knowing me. But there you go. It's kind of like daylight savings. Same thing for the farmers.
Yeah, I got to figure out what's going on with ours, because supposedly Florida voted to not have it anymore.
Oh, beautiful.
So we're going to be like New Brunswick time or something.
So you're going to be like, sometime we'll be at the same time, and then the rest of the year, you're going to be an hour ahead of me?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That will be very strange. It'll affect, like, football games. They'll be starting at, like, 11 a.m. instead of 1 or something.
No, 11 here.
Instead of, like, noon, like the college football kickoffs.
Yeah, 11. 11 and 12.
Or it will be 1. I don't know. It'll be
the opposite. Because football in Minnesota would start at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And then East Coast, because East Coast was 1. Central was an hour behind, so they would start here probably at 2 then, yep.
Oh, like 1 o'clock for college or 2 o'clock
for the pros, yep.
That's nuts.
Isn't that crazy?
It's going to mess everything up. Like, I'm totally against getting rid of daylight savings. I think it's pretty stupid that we change the clocks twice a year for really no reason.
For no reason, exactly.
At this point. Yep. But I don't think, like, individual states should do it. It should just be an all or nothing. I don't care if a state does it, but it's just everything's so interconnected now that...
I read down here, though, it's for tourism.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why they want to do it. Because they want people to be able to... I forget, it had to do actually with beaches and sunsets and stuff. Like, it had to do with tourism. Hmm. That it supposedly they did studies that it would be better for tourism.
Okay.
So, economically speaking, if it's better for the state, then I'm all for it.
Well, I'm all for it anyway. I just think it's weird that all of a sudden, just like Florida's going to be on its own little island, its own like time zone for half of a year.
It essentially is its own little island.
Well, I know, but like you drive in, all of a sudden you drive from like Georgia just over the border, and you're like, okay, let's set the clocks forward an hour.
Yeah, that is weird.
I mean, I guess you do that if you drive west, but that makes a little more sense with the like time zones make sense. The daylight savings doesn't. Right. If you're in the time zone, I think you should stick to whatever the rest of the time zone does. This is Eric.
Plus, Florida is in the central time zone as well. It's parts of Florida, the panhandle.
Oh, really? It's that far west?
Yeah, it's actually in the central time zone. Yep.
I did not know that.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Because when I was driving home a couple times from Minnesota, when I was going through Indiana, like you'd listen to like the top of the hour news,
mm-hmm.
and they would talk about the time, and it was two different times. Because it was like the same radio reach.
Oh, I see. So, like, that station would get to both. Like,
it's, yeah, it'd be like, all right, we're coming up. We're at 5 o'clock in Gary, Indiana, or 4 o'clock in, you know, wherever. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that just sounds weird.
That's right.
Because Indiana has, like, a split.
Yeah, there's a bunch of states that do, or, like, at least areas of the country where, obviously, there's a line, so you could be literally in you could stand in two different time zones.
What would suck, though? Like, think about that in Rhode Island. Like, it's like your buddies in Warwick, like, the sun sets at 9:30, and at your house in Cranston, it sets at, like, 8:30.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That would be horrible, wouldn't it?
That would be pretty bad. Or imagine, like, if your house is right on the line. And your bedroom, it's your 7 a.m., but then you go to the kitchen, it's already 8 a.m.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, sorry, you missed breakfast.
I don't know if they go to that extreme, though, Bill.
Oh, at some point, it's just a line.
Yeah, right? But I don't know if it goes right down the center of your house.
That's true.
Like, I would think, like, certain cities, like, you know.
Oh, fair enough.
That's what I'm guessing. Like, I don't like, when you guys were staying at my house right down the hallway, yours and Sarah's room, it was 8. Like, the kids went to bed a different time.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
their room was...
Yeah, sorry, it's bedtime, 7 o'clock.
That's
you
weird.
You come into the kitchen, it'll be 6, yeah.
just when I didn't think stupid. We could get dumber.
So, speaking of dumb, you told me to remind you to tell you a story about mooning your friend's mom.
When you saw that, were you just, like, shaking your head?
Oh, you saw my response to it.
Have you ever done that, mooned your friend's mom?
No, I can't say that I have. I don't think that I've mooned anybody in my life.
Maybe that was popular back in the 80s or just within knuckleheads.
Sure. Yeah.
So there's this kid. We weren't like super, super tight, but we played Little League together, and we were both big baseball fans. He was a Dale Murphy guy. Do you know who Dale Murphy was?
Yeah, the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, the center fielder for the Braves. He wore number 3. And I was a George Brett guy. So we always traded baseball cards. We'd play, you know, tennis ball at the schoolyard or wiffle ball, what have you. So I'm at his house one day, summer vacation, and we're trading baseball cards. And he puts on the table, he said, I'll give you a Wayne Gretzky rookie card if you moon the next car that comes down the street. No brainer, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, Wayne Gretzky rookie, come on.
And it was one of those hockey cards, like the 79 tops where you could... had a hockey puck, and you could scratch it off like one of those lottery tickets, and it had their position. So obviously you're better off not scratching that puck off because it's worth more money for the value, right? So Wayne Gretzky rookie card, next car, no, done. So I see this car coming and I'm getting ready. He's like, no. I go, deal's a deal. I said, you can't take it off the table. Deal's a deal. So I do it, right? And I see this car pull into the driveway. I go, oh, Jesus. I go, who the hell is this? He's like, it's my mom. And I'm like, she gets out of the car. Hello, Michael. I'm like, hi, Mrs. Crowley. I mean, where do you go from there?
Have a good day. Oh, I hear my mom calling me.
I mean,
I gotta go.
Who's this? Oh, it's my mom. She comes. It's too late now.
Yeah, well, your pants are already down.
Yeah, it's already done. So
again, that's another one. You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube at that point.
No. And the reason that it was funny because I saw. I'm friends with him on Facebook, and he posted something to his mom, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I haven't seen, like, that picture in, like, 36 years. And then it just reminded me. I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot that I mooned her.
Now, did you get the card?
Yeah, I did get the card.
Okay. Did you scratch off the puck?
No, I think it may have already been scratched off.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. I mean, you'd probably – that's a good deal. You'd do it. Would you do it today at this age?
For a Wayne Gretzky rookie?
Yeah.
I think so. Aren't those worth like $3,900 or something?
I don't know what it's worth. I'll have to look it up. I mean, it's a good... The problem is right now, though, you probably serve some time in a can. How do you explain that one?
You got to get in front of a lenient judge and tell him about the rookie card.
Because this is something where you get arrested now.
You could, yeah. The right car goes by, or the wrong car, I guess.
Speaking about getting arrested, you hear what's going on up in Columbus?
No, what's going on?
Urban Meyer.
What happened?
He's in trouble.
Uh-oh.
He's on a paid leave of absence right now.
Ooh, that's a kiss of death. Didn't that happen to, what's his name before him?
Oh, John Cooper?
No, the guy in between, the nerdy guy with the glasses.
Oh, John Cooper was a nerdy guy with glasses, too.
Oh.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, though. He came after John Cooper.
What was his name? I keep wanting to say O'Brien. Was that
No.
Oh, that's going to drive me crazy. Because now he's coaching at like a D3 school.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I got to look him up now.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Jim Tressel.
Jim, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Jim Tressel. He was John Cooper, 88 to 2000. He was there for a while. Good coach.
Let's see where Jim Tressel is right now. Youngstown State, so he's back in D1.
Oh, Youngstown State, jeez.
Oh, he's the president of Youngstown State. He's not the coach.
Yeah, I remember seeing 30 for 30 with him. It was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, because he got in trouble for that.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything, no.
No, that was the tattoo stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, something stupid, autographs or some garbage like that.
So what's going on? So he's on just paid leave? What else is going on here?
It's not looking good. Apparently, he was aware that his wide receivers coach was beating up his wife.
Oh, that's not good.
And the wide receiver coach was texting Urban's wife, and she's like, I gotta tell Urban about this. And she's like, yeah, I agree. I guess they had been separated, so she wanted nothing to do with him, wasn't covering it up and this and that. And it's starting to trickle out that he actually knew about it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, the cover-up's always worse than the crime, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, it's not worse than the crime, but the person doing the covering up always gets in just as much trouble.
Yep.
Because that's what happened to Paterno.
Right.
Same thing.
Right.
The cover-up, it's the cover-up makes you seem worse than, or just as bad, I guess. That's stupid, too, if you look at that, because, like, a wide receiver coach, he could call up any person across the country and replace that guy.
Right.
He could have just, you know, fired him and replaced him, kept everything under the rug. Nothing would have came out about it, you know?
It's not like, you know, the pedophile who's a defensive genius who you think if you get rid of him, you're going to lose games.
I mean, it's not that excuses it.
No, but you know what I'm saying. No, I think either of them are gross. I mean, Penn State's worse.
Oh, definitely.
And I can't imagine wanting to win that much.
No, but it just doesn't even cross my mind, like, that guy could be the integral of a part.
Right,
you would put your reputation on the
right.
line.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't put my reputation on the line, but I guess if you're going to, it might be because of defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I guess.
If Pedro Martinez is doing something wrong and your bullpen coach is doing something wrong, I would think that you would throw your bullpen coach under the bus first.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
that's the point that I was trying to make.
Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week?
You're emphatic. I mean, we just turned completely left Urban Meyer for your beer sponsor, so I assume that this is a pretty damn good one.
Oh, well, do you want to talk more about Urban
Meyer? No, I mean, there's really nothing to talk about. This all just came out today.
And it sounds like he's going to either step down or they're going to force him to resign, I would imagine, in this day and age with this climate.
Yep.
That we're in. Yeah. And rightfully so. I mean, there's nothing, you can't really defend that.
No.
So this one is White Birch Brewing out of Nashua, New Hampshire. And this is called the Watermelon Wheat. It's a sour wheat ale fermented with watermelon. It's 6% alcohol by volume. I will give you a sneak preview. I took a sip of this when I first opened it before we started recording, and I almost threw up.
Oh, boy.
So I don't even know if I could take my second sip. Should I do it live?
Yeah, let's hear it before we go to break, and then I want you to break it down.
This could be bad. This could be bad. Ugh. Ugh. It's so bad. So bad. I can't do it. Take me to break. I gotta go get a glass of water or something.
All right, we're gonna go to break. Ready to join us again? Are you okay?
I'll be all right. I'll be okay. I'm not happy.
Why do you do this? I know what I'm getting every time I get my Bud Light.
Yeah, but you never, like, I found some really good ones going through this. I mean, you get a dud every once in a while. It's not the end of the world. That'd be like saying, why do you go to different restaurants at Disney World? I mean, you might get a dud. You might get a Tony's Town Square.
You know what, though? You're right. Maybe it'll just be Grand Floridian Cafe for breakfast and Narcoozie's for dinner. That's not a bad idea.
I guess that's true. I mean, you can't really go wrong with narrowing it down, but I'm saying, you know, you like trying the new restaurants. I like trying new beers. And every once in a while, there's a stinker mixed in there. It's just called playing the odds there, Bill.
These do not look like filet mignons.
What's this now?
My buddy that I graduated from Bryant with, he posted this thing, filet mignon Wednesdays, why not? Courtesy of my mother-in-law, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't, I'm going to post this to our page. It just does not look like, it's got way too much fat.
You're going to share like someone's personal like Facebook page to our Por Favor page?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Okay.
Take a look at it before we get into our category.
Okay. This is important stuff. They don't look like fillets, huh?
He can't. They can't read this. My comments, can they? I don't think.
Probably.
They can. Really?
I don't know.
All right, Bill. It's out there right now. Take a look, though. He's showing. I mean, good job with the pictures. You do the before and afters, but
okay. So he did his due diligence. It's just you're saying those don't look like fillets. Yeah, those do not look like
especially the bottom one. Look at all the fat in there. Unless they're super cheap cuts, which they could be, but you know a filet, it's just dark red and you barely see a line of marbling.
Yeah, that's not a filet.
It can't be, can
it? You're right. It's way too big. You don't get a cut that big
on
a filet.
No, because, yeah. I couldn't let this go when I saw it.
Like, that could be like a ribeye off the bone, maybe?
Yep. I mean, look at the grill marks. I mean, he did a heck of a job cooking
those. Oh, I'm sure they're fantastic, but those, I don't think they're filets.
No.
I just don't think they are. But that's okay.
I'd have one, would you?
Oh, yeah.
You'd have one of those?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, the before and after. That's good work.
Yeah, no, that's a heck of a job. I mean, I wouldn't mind considering hiring him for our Westerly, as our Westerly chef.
That would be not a bad thing.
He cooks all the time. He does good job. He cooks pretty well, so.
Oh, yeah? You post a lot of pictures of it?
Yeah, he does.
That's good.
So maybe, I don't know how you and your chef's relationship is, but if you're in the market for a new chef, maybe we can call him.
Yeah, I'll definitely give it a shout.
Gentlemen. So what are we
Is Susie starting to like the gentleman more?
Not really. I'd say it's growing a little bit on her.
Oh, is it? Does she slip one in every once in a while?
If I ask her, though.
I see.
Like, it's just not.
Has Vito done any?
No, we've never seen Vito do a gentleman. He's excited, though, because there's a lot more dumpsters now in the neighborhood.
Oh, that's a lot of opportunity, yes. I guess, is one way to put it.
They're popping up. They're like weeds in my grass right now. I mean, they are popping up all over the place.
You got a lot of weeds in the grass?
Ah, it's awful. It's so bad.
What happened to your guy? You're not going to hire him for the... You're just going to let it go because you're going
to
be
Ripping it up, so there's no reason to. Yeah, because I'm going to re-landscape everything. So, yeah. I mean, it doesn't look bad when I cut it, but, you know, like about, you know, 5 days later, once those weeds pop up and they're five times higher than the normal grass.
Yeah, that's what I'm dealing with right now as well.
What do you do with them?
I spray them.
Does it kill the, like, do you just get a weed killer and does it, like, regrow grass, though?
Oh, Bill, come on, come to the dark side here.
Really?
You need a selective herbicide that will only go after the weeds. It'll keep the grass.
Yeah, but what about if all you have is weeds?
Well, then it becomes, there's brown spots, and then they eventually fill in with the grass.
Oh, so really?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just saw, like, if I have, like, a 5x5 patch of weeds, that
you'd be surprised how much grass is actually in there. Okay. It might seem like it's all weed, but there's probably a decent amount of actual grass in there that will start filling in as soon as that weed is choked out.
So if I wanted to, I could do something right now.
You probably could. I'm not as familiar with this, like the Florida grass species, like the Bermuda grass and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, St. Augustine stuff.
St. Augustine, how that works. So you'd have to, you know, consult your local professional.
Maybe I could bring Por Favor Frank on payroll for a couple months.
See, I don't think he knows much about the St. Augustine either.
He probably studied it for a week or two up in UMass, don't you
think? I'm sure he could figure it out. I'm sure he knows more than I do, but I doubt he is like an expert. Like the cool season grasses. The warm season grasses are an animal all unto themselves.
That is true.
They grow very different. I mean, you've said that yourself. Just walking on them, it feels differently.
Yeah, they grow
sideways. They're much stalkier.
Yep.
And they grow sideways. They would, if it weren't what people wanted, it would look like a weed. Like when I walk around the hotels at Disney World, I just see all the grass they have, and it just looks like all weeds to me. But that's what it's supposed to look like, so I get it. But it doesn't look like grass to me. Anyway, what are we talking about this week, sir?
We're going to be talking about something that's near and dear to me, Mr. Klinsmann. That's tipping.
Oh, you are a big fan of that.
I love to tip.
Have you always been a big tipper, or has this more come about since the since working at the golf course? Okay.
Now, I wouldn't say that I was stingy, but I always tipped at restaurants and at bars.
Mm-hmm.
But I would always try to do things for myself so I didn't have to tip.
Okay.
So I would carry my bags to my room so I didn't have to tip. I was one of those.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that boat.
Yep.
So what, you changed because, you know, these guys are just hustling trying to make a buck.
Trying to make a buck, man. Trying to make a buck.
Yeah, I get it. Now, before we get into the Disney tipping, what are your thoughts on, like, tipping at Dunkin' Donuts?
I don't believe in that.
I'm with you on that.
Especially, like when they have, like, the cup out.
Yeah. Like, once in a while, like, if I go for work, if I have to pick up, like, two boxes of Joe and, like, 100 Munchkins and they're helping me for a long time, I'll throw them, like, $3 or $4. But if I'm just getting my iced coffee, why should I give them, like, 90 cents or whatever?
Yep.
Like, the change...
Yeah, I don't buy into that.
Okay, good. So we're coming from the same place here.
Yeah, because you were afraid if I called you out and said that I give a nickel every time I get a dollar iced coffee, then you're going to be like, oh, geez, he's going to make me look terrible on this show.
Well, I'm already probably going to look terrible on this show. I was thinking about that earlier today, because there's one point that we're going to get to, inevitably, and I'm going to tell the truth, and you're going to kill me for it.
I won't kill you.
Yeah, you might. Let's start off. So what do you have to start off by saying here?
Where do you want to start? You want to start in the usual suspects, the dining rooms?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get the most obvious out of the way first.
Okay.
The dining establishments. Now, at Disney, I know that if you're on the meal plan, the tip is not included.
Right.
So that's something where people... I wonder if the servers get screwed over on that.
They do, and I talk to them because I'm always open about asking them questions. Yeah. And, you know, that's why they put in that thing when you get your check about
it's like customer. 15%. Yeah, yeah, it's customary to leave it to.
Yeah.
I know a lot of foreigners, like, it's not, like, tipping is mostly a U.S. thing at restaurants. So, like, if people come from other countries, they're not used to it. But I feel like if you travel abroad, you should know the customs where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's a good excuse, but I know that it happens a lot.
Now, from what I heard, though, they said the Europeans, they put the cost into the food.
They do, yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like they're being cheap. They're just...
Oh, yeah.
They're used
and
to paying
a higher cost. They're paying that extra 20%, so the wait staff gets paid. Mm-hmm. It ends up they getting paid the same, pretty much.
Right.
Although, in that when they do it that way, and I've heard this, read this online and heard it from different people, that... You don't get a truly attentive wait staff sometimes in Europe because they don't have to anything to earn the extra.
I'm sure.
If they know they're getting whatever, no matter what, no matter how good or bad their service is, what incentive is it? So
absolutely.
I do like being incentivized to do a good job, but I also feel like when they do a good job, they should be rewarded regardless of whether the person's a cheapskate or not. Like,
right.
I wish there was a way you could force it on people when they're just being a cheapskate or a jerk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's the breaks. I mean, for every jerk, there's probably someone who tips an extra 10% on top of the 20 or whatever. So I'm sure it evens out in the end.
Right.
But it is unfortunate. Because if you bust your hump waiting on a table at Disney, like, say it's a family with two kids and the grandparents are there and, you know, you're cleaning up the spills, you're bringing out extra things for the kids, and then at the end of the day, they leave you $3
on a
$200 bill. Like, that's not going to... What's that going to do for you?
And I'm sure that just ruins the rest of your night.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're probably going to be taking it out on other tables, I'm sure. I mean, it's just human nature.
Sure.
If I got stiffed on a $200 bill, I'm not going to be eager to go running over to my other table.
Right. And then there's the people that will tip 30, 40% on a tab, I'm sure. It happens. Not all the time. Probably not that often, but occasionally. And then you've talked about the tables in Wonderland, which I think is great because it guarantees that 18% for the waiter. And then I think more often than not, people will leave a little something extra.
Customarily, I'm a 20% tipper when I eat. But when I get that 18%, I usually, if the service is really good, I'll throw $5, $7, maybe even $10 on top of that.
Right. Which, depending on how much you've spent on food, might
percentage
not be
wise.
A lot, but it might be. It could be a lot. Like, if it's just you and Susie at Grand Floridian Cafe, if you throw an extra five, that's probably an extra 8 or 10%.
Right. Right. Even, at Narcoosie's, you look at the average bill for the two of us is $1.50. 10% is going to be 15
right.
bucks. So if you throw seven, you're adding another close to 5% on top of that. So you're tipping 23%, which is a good tip. So.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. And anything extra is the extra for their pocket. So even if it's just a couple bucks,
yep.
I'm sure they appreciate that.
Yep.
I am surprised by the amount of people that probably tip exactly what's on the receipt, like where they print out like a 15% tip or an 18% tip or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like when they get, because I remember on our honeymoon.
Sorry, am I keeping you up?
Oh, I've been exhausted today.
Okay.
I remember on our honeymoon, there were a couple times where the wait staff was just phenomenal, and we were on the dining plan, so that was really the only expense we had while we were there was to tip, and we would be very generous with the tips, especially when the service warranted it. And a couple times, like, the waiter came over, like, after and, like, specifically thanked us, like, oh, that's, you didn't have to do that, you know, that was so generous, like,
mm-hmm.
enough where, and it wasn't big, it was probably like a 30% tip instead of a 20% tip. And so that kind of made me think, like, if they come over for a 30% tip and, like,
right.
groveling to you saying how nice it was, then they must not get
you're right
as many of those big tips as you would think.
Right.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know if people just are like, well, Disney vacation's expensive enough, why am I gonna, you know, tip extra? I don't know. That's not the right way to think about it.
Well, and it's funny because the same people who sit there and they say, oh, it's so expensive, oh, they make so much money, oh, they do this, are the ones who say, oh, they don't pay their people enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a poor argument.
Right.
Because if they don't pay their people enough, then
you
take care of them.
Yeah. And that's the, now, do wait staff at Disney, they must make the minimum, they don't make like waiter wage?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I would assume that they do make the waiter wage.
Yeah, like whatever it is, $3 an hour and then plus tips or whatever it is. I don't even know what it is nowadays. I know it's low because when you work at a
right
restaurant, you don't have to pay them minimum wage. You can pay below minimum.
Right.
As long as the tips equal out to minimum wage by the end of the night and everything. But I'm sure, like, I have to imagine that the staff at, like, the California Grill and a lot of the signatures, they probably do pretty well for
themselves.
I would assume so. Because even if people are just leaving 20%, 15% tip, you know, for between 15 and 20, all the tables they turn and the amount of, like, just the price point
mm-hmm.
where things are at there,
mm-hmm.
they must make a decent amount per night. A few $100 in tips, I would imagine.
Oh, all day.
So, I'm sure it's a good, as far as Disney World jobs go, I imagine those are some of the more highly sought after.
I was talking to somebody a couple years ago, and I think their son or daughter was working as a server up at some, like, high-end place at Disney Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she was worried to walk into her parking lot each night, to her car every night, because of how much money she was making.
Yeah.
He was telling me she was making $250, $300 cash a night.
Wow. It's good work if you can get it, I guess.
Yeah. And you're going to college. Why?
Yeah, exactly.
$1,500 cash a week.
I guess it burns you out, though, I imagine.
I'm sure it does. Good hours, though. I'd take those. I love the
You like that hour? See, I don't
play,
like those
play
hours.
Golf during the day. Well, if you were younger or something.
Yeah, no.
Like, with a family, it wouldn't work. But if you're just a goofball and, like, you have two goofball roommates...
Yeah, that's true.
You come home from work at like 11:30, throw down a couple suds, play some PlayStation, catch up on ESPN for the night, and get up the next day and chill out by the pool. It's not a bad
that's
gig.
True. No, that's not a bad
not
gig.
Not a bad gig.
That's true. Now, what about the bars?
Well, I was going to say the other thing is I'm typically just an 18% tipper when it comes to buffets. I don't believe in big tips for buffets. They add the 18% on your tables in Wonderland, so I usually just leave it at 15 or 18.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, with the buffet, I kind of agree with you because they're basically just refilling your drinks and grabbing your plates. But even then, they still have the bussers come around and take the empty plates. So, I mean, I believe they deserve a tip, but you're right. It doesn't necessarily have to be 20, but I do have to confess that when I tip, I never, like, do the math out. I just kind of... do the automatic 20%, you know?
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Like, if it's a $75 check, I say, all right, 10%, $7.50, and so it's $15.
Right.
So I don't, like, take the tax off and then do 18%. I'm always, you're always rounding
on
up.
On the high end.
So, and I would do the same thing at a buffet, because I'm not going to whip out the cell phone, get in the calculator, figure out exactly what 18% is.
We used to have the slide cards back when I was younger.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like a business card. You slide it down. It was pretty nerdy. But I'll tell you, last, for breakfast, so at 1900 Park Fair, our server was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And he was so attentive, and as soon as you took your last bite, he was grabbing your plate.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal. Do you want anything to go? Can I get you a coffee to go? When they do that, then I throw a couple bucks on the at the end.
Yeah, no, all that day. Sounds like he did a good job.
Because you normally you have like your regular servers at buffets, and then you have your guys who hustle, and they're very attentive.
That sounds good.
Okay, so you want to get to the drinks.
I've always had an issue with tipping at bars.
Oh, really?
Not that I tip, don't get me wrong. And I usually tip a buck a drink. Is that cheap?
No, that's actually okay. That's pretty much standard.
Okay, because like if you buy a cocktail at Disney World, it's $13. If you leave a dollar, that's like an 8% tip.
Yep.
Am I being a cheapskate?
It's a little on the low end. I was reading a couple articles, and they said it should be like $2 to $3 per drink.
That seems too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that seems like a beer. If you're pouring a beer out of a tap, I think a dollar is more than enough. No matter how much the beer costs, like why should I pay $2?
I don't think there's any you should or you shouldn't. I think there's just certain guidelines,
I guess. But then if I open a tab at the end of the night, I always just add 20% to it. So I guess I'm a hypocrite in that. Like if I'm sitting at the bar and I open a tab, when I go to check out, I'm just going to leave the standard 20% at the end of the day. But
okay, I see. So then that's, you know what I mean? That's really low.
The 20%?
Yeah, because if you're, say each beer is $6, you have six beers, you're talking $36. 20% is $7.20.
So that's still more than a dollar a beer, though.
Yeah, and on your, yep.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, but if I'm up, if I just go up and I say, oh, I need two Bud Lights, I'm going to leave $2.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I don't know. I'm probably wrong in that, but I think I'm in the majority in that. But how much does a bartender deserve if I just walk up to the bar, order a beer, and walk away with my own drink? Like, they didn't put a lot of work into it.
Not much, no, I agree.
You know, what is a 45-second interaction? I think a dollar's pretty good for that. But if you're bellied up at the bar and you're chewing their ear off and they're entertaining you all night, then yeah, you're going to leave a nice fat tip at the end of the day. And I think you've been in that situation at the Walrus and Carpenter before, correct?
Correct.
So, I don't know. I guess there's two schools. So where do you fall in that? Are you kind of like buck a drink, or what are you looking at?
I'm usually high. Like I'm looking at when we're doing our pub crawl.
Yeah.
Let's just take a look at some of these.
I guess it's different when you're using card, though. It's always because then you're writing it in, and you feel like you've. I guess it's a cash versus credit thing where I leave a higher tip on the credit card.
Could be.
Because whenever I pay cash, like if it, say I buy a beer and it's like, oh, $8.75, I'm just going to leave the 10, so or whatever. So it would be like a $1.25 tip.
Yeah, I don't. I'm looking, and they did add the 18% gratuity because of tables.
Okay.
And I always sense. And I always added 5 on top of that.
Oh, okay.
So on a $35 bill, 10% would be $3.50. So I'm tipping 28% there.
Okay. I guess it depends on how long you spend and like where you're sitting and everything like that.
No, again, my mind's completely warped now because what I get paid, I don't deserve what I get paid.
Right.
If I wipe down your clubs and you hand me a 10, did I do $10 worth of work? No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So all I'm doing is trading currency.
That's true.
Somebody handed me a 20. Oh my God, you are so generous. I want to give it to the next person.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Because when you work in a tipping job, you get off tipping. It's euphoric for me.
All right, well, let's get into like the unusual tipping situations
here. Okay.
Well, actually, you know what? Before we do that, this is the one that I have to confess to you about.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Yeah.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
It's the mouse keeping. I never leave a tip for mouse keeping. It seems strange to me.
Does it?
I don't know. I know it's like something that a lot of people do and they recommend that you do it. But like what's the amount? Is like $5 a night? Like that's
I actually
a lot.
I actually just started it on my Grand Floridian Okay. Trip.
Yeah.
You know, there's some thought that it should be a dollar or two per guest. I left $5 a night.
It just seems like, oh, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's the same thing as like a waitstaff, but I mean, they're getting paid. That's included in the cost of the room, right? Is to have it cleaned.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Of course it is.
So why am I paying extra on top of it? And like, you leave the tip before you see how good of a job they do. That's the other thing. Like when I was at Port Orleans, there were a couple of days where they didn't even come in because we were in the room so much. And obviously they wouldn't have gotten a tip because they didn't come in, but
right.
Like they didn't do like anything spectacular. They didn't even like change out like the towels and stuff one of the days. So like if I had left $5, they would have taken it, I'm sure. They didn't do a great job. And then that money's already gone, you know?
Yeah.
And you're not necessarily getting the same housekeeper the next day, so it's not like you can leave $5 because the person the day before did a good job.
Right.
Like, if you knew you were having the same housekeeper your whole length of stay, I'd be a lot more comfortable at the end of the week leaving a 20 or something.
Yeah.
If you knew it was the same housekeeper every day.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's one of the weird ones for me. And I guess it's just another thing. Like, is it at the end of the week, is throwing $30 to housekeeping going to make or break my deal?
No.
No. I wouldn't miss it. It's not something, like, I could easily budget it in and do it.
Like, but I look at it, they're making $8 an hour. They're struggling. They're trying to feed kids. Now, a 7-day stay, $35, is that going to kill me? No, not at all. And you look, say, I don't know what they do on average, 10, 15 rooms. You're making, you know, 10, 15, you're making $50-$75 a day cash. Now that's pretty good.
Right.
That helps out a hell of a lot.
Sure. I'm not saying it doesn't help the people if you tip them. Don't get me wrong, but like, I mean, they're not the only people working at Disney World making $8 or $10 an hour either.
Right.
Like, every single person working at the stores is making that.
Right.
The people at the, like, I'm not tipping the attendant at the people mover.
No, but
they,
no,
I'm
right,
sure they
right.
could use the money just as much as the housekeeper.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, that's not
I
a
just think,
valid
I just
reason
think housekeeping provides a service.
Well, everybody there does, to some extent.
Right.
You know, I get more satisfaction out of dealing with the cast members, you know, in the hotel lobby when they're there, like, playing the games with the kids or something than I do with the housekeeping.
True.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate a little bit because I don't have a problem tipping the housekeeping. I don't because I don't know that they, you know, you're leaving it before the service is performed. That's the part that I don't like.
That's true.
Like, I'm not going to leave a tip to my waiter before I order the food. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's kind of hard because it's not like you're sitting around watching them clean your room, say, you know what, hell of a job, here's seven.
It just doesn't work. It's just a strange thing. Or maybe they could leave a little card and you could write in a tip to be added to your folio at the end and it would go to that specific housekeeper if you're happy with the job they did. I'd happily do that.
Uh-huh.
Like, that would be fit. If they left a little, like, foldable card on your bed saying your room was cleaned by, you know, Yergina, and then you could put a little thing and you could drop it, like, in a certain spot in the room, and they pick it up the next day, and they get that $5 at the end of the week.
You know, that's a good idea, because then each day, they'd have a different one with their name on it.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you could, like, if you had 5 Steves and 4 Jennifers,
yeah,
you could just consolidate and throw a 10 in this one and a 20 in this one and be on your way. That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah, just something like that, because then at least you're doing it for, like, the job they did. If they did a lousy job, I'm not going to leave a tip.
Right.
If they do a good job, I'll leave a tip. I don't know. That is a good idea.
That's actually a fantastic idea.
Either way, but I'm sure you could, like, if you wanted to go out of your way, and that's the thing, I'm not going to go out of my way to do it, but, like, if I got back to my room and there were, like, all the towel animals for the kids and, like, they did a fantastic job cleaning, I'm sure I could call down to the front desk and say, I'm in room such and such. Which, can you tell me who cleaned the room? I want to,
right,
you know, give them a little extra something or give them a comp. You know, they would have that information, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do it that way, but who's going to take time out of their day to call down to the front desk? And, you know, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But if there was a little card there and you could just write in a tip, literally write it in and then just leave it in your room for the next day.
Yep.
And then it gets to them by the end of the week and it's added onto your bill. Yeah, no problem. I would do that. Anyway, all right, so we got a few minutes left here. Why don't you give me some of your out-of-the-ordinary tipping situations?
Bell services all day.
Oh, of course, yeah.
All day.
And that's one that I would definitely 100% tip. And I'm the guy that you were described earlier that would just, I'll just lug them myself
right.
to save the $8-$10 or whatever.
Right.
And that's just how that's how I've been raised. That's how I am. And I don't have, you know, if they take it and they do it, I'm going to tip them out. Don't get me wrong. Like when I go to the airport, I always do the curbside check-in, and I'm always happy to give those guys tips.
Right.
Whatever that's called, I forget what that's even called, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, to Grant, again, it was a great service. I pulled up, popped the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
They loaded it onto a thing. I said, my room's not ready, so they're like, we'll just store it. So I think I threw him a 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I parked my car, and then when the guy came up and brought the bags, I gave him a 20. I mean, that's way too much to be tipping.
Yeah, that's a lot of tipping.
Because they say it should be a couple bucks a bag.
Sure.
But I don't know. It like we said, like the guy who came and picked it up when we were leaving, and I go, oh, hold on a second, let me tip you. I gave him a 20. Like his face was like, he goes, I really appreciate this. Oh yeah, so do I, man. So do I.
The only thing I have to also add is that I don't carry cash anymore.
Well, I never did. That was always my problem because there'd be times where we'd be in an awkward situation, and Chris would be like, "Do you have cash?"
Right.
I'm like, I never have cash. Like, you know, before we went on this trip, I just went into one of my boxes in the attic, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't have those.
Grab a couple $100 to bring with me.
Yeah, I don't have the Vito boxes.
I'll have to send you a box maybe for Christmas.
Oh, that'd be nice. Is it going to have cash in it? Or
yeah,
just
it just has like 20s and 10s and 1s.
That'd be all right.
Like the most gaudy Christmas present you could ever get. What'd you get? Oh, one of Mike's old Nike shoe boxes had like $1,100 in it.
That's like the wedding scene in Goodfellas. To just handing them cash for the family, for the family.
I don't know what to get, Mr. Klinsman. Let me go in my closet. Here. Has like a Canadian, five Canadian in there.
Yeah, a couple loonies in there. But that's the thing. Like you just described, like you said, some awkward situations. Sometimes you'll go to a restaurant and not realize they only have valet. Isn't that the worst feeling?
Yes.
Because then you don't have cash on you. And then you're going back and you're like, scrounging through your change and like giving the guy like 8 quarters. Oh, thanks a lot. Like I've been in that situation before where it's valet only, and I look at Sarah, I said, do you have any cash on you? I have like a 20. I'm like, I'm not giving the guy $20.
Yeah, you can ask. You can always ask for change.
That's awkward too.
No,
though, isn't it?
No. Because they always at the golf course they always ask for change.
So if you washed my clubs and I handed you a 5 and said I need 3 ones back, you wouldn't look at me funny.
Oh, like yeah, I'd give you a face like you cheap prick.
But if I gave you a 20 and said, give me 15 back, you'd be okay with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All day. I remember there was this one guy. I learned the game, too. He gives me a 10, right? He goes, can I get change for this so I can tip you? I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, I just came on. I said, I got to run in the pro shop, right? So he gives me a 10.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I give him back?
Two fives.
Two fives all day. You don't give him the opportunity to give you a couple ones. So then he looks at me, and Chaz just standing there because he knows this guy and he's cheap. He goes, I told you I need a change. I go, I just broke it. I gave you 2 fives. Well, I was just going to give you like $1. I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm good. Like, just get out of here, you cheap. You're going to give me $1.
So he gave you so at the end of the day, you got nothing?
Yeah, I said, I'm good. Don't worry about it, buddy.
So you worked yourself. I mean,
you make him feel like crap.
Yeah, that's true.
Like you're going to give me $1? Okay, it's not worth my time going back into the pro shop to break.
Listen,
this.
You just, obviously need it more than I do.
Yeah, just
at this point.
Go ahead, buddy. Like, I'm doing you a favor. Here's a dollar. Here's 50 cents. Somebody gave me 50 cents.
That's nice, though. You kind of got to appreciate
that. I
got to
split that with Cha, too. I usually do that at the beginning before we split. Hey, I got 50 cents here. Just take this quarter right now, okay?
Yeah. Get the paperwork out of the way. That's like a Caddyshack. Remember, he leaves him like the quarter and he just throws it on the table?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, what else? There's some other miscellaneous. Obviously, Kristen tipped at Census, the spa.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Like, is that a normal tipping situation? I'm
yes.
not much of a spa
yes.
goer, so I've never done that
yes,
before.
Yes, yes, yes. You should always. Yeah, it's like getting your hair cut.
Okay.
Please tell me you tip when you. Oh, you have your wife do it anyways.
No, I go to a place. I tip.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm
it's
a good
like
tipper
that.
For that. Now, what about if they own the barbershop? Do you still tip the owner of the barbershop?
Yeah, I probably would.
I would, too.
Just because he's the owner doesn't mean he's making money. He could be bleeding cash.
That's a good point. Well, charge more for the haircut, then. I know. Yeah, you're right. Tipping is fine. I always tip for my haircut. I consider myself a good tipper. I just don't tip in every situation that some people do.
I never did until about a year and a half ago, I'll be honest. I would lug my bags through the parking lot to save a few bucks.
But I'm not as bad. Like, if someone's there and they do it, the only reason I would avoid it is if I didn't have cash, because I wouldn't want to make them do it for nothing.
Yeah, because then you look like an idiot.
Then I look like a cheapskate, but I'd rather look like a cheapskate than stiff somebody.
Right, yep.
So, like, if you came up to me and I was at my trunk and you said, "Want me to grab the bag for you?" And I said, "No, I don't have any cash anyway," you'd get the hint and just drive off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you get it.
Or if I'm working at, like, the Grand, I basically say, "Hey, it's my job anyways, I'll take care of it, don't worry about it."
Like, that's my biggest problem is the lack of cash. I just don't carry cash on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I do understand that. So you said there was a couple situations where the people, like, basically told you they could get in trouble if they took a tip?
Yeah, when we were on the boats and we were getting off, and, like, he was helping us. He's, like, grabbing my hand and helping me off the boat and helping Kristen up. And I said, can I give you a tip? He's like, "No." I go, I can't give you $5. He's like, "Nah." He's like, "I can't take it." I'm like, "Will you get in trouble?" He's like, "Yeah, we're not supposed to take tips."
Well, so that was like the recreation, like we do, like the sports or whatever.
Yeah, but like I read that you're allowed to tip them, so who the hell knows?
I don't know. That's weird.
Now, another one that I don't think people think of, and you're actually supposed to be tipping, is when you arrive at MCO and you take the Magical Express.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. I've tipped them before. Not always, because, again, it's a cash thing. But those drivers, if they take my bags out from under the bus, I always tip them out.
Yep. And they say, they say it should be, you know, just like Bell Services, should be per bag. Plus, if you want to give them anything on top of that, then that's fine. But
yeah, I usually slip them a $5.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they take out the two bags from underneath it, that's a $5.
Now, think about that gig. I mean, you get 50, 60 people.
Yeah, but how many
granted, none of them are. That's true.
Well, maybe on, like, the Wilderness Lodge bus, but on the All-Star Music bus.
You know that's, like, seniority, too. It's like, dude, I've been here 5 years. I'm not doing the All-Star Music bus anymore. Bob retired. I'm taking that Grand Floridian Contemporary Polynesian route.
So those are all contracted out by Mears, as you probably know.
I did not know that. That's contracted by Mears, huh?
Yeah, Mears does all that for Disney, and they get paid by the head. So, like, that's why they're always counting the people, and that's why they always wait to fill it up. So they don't, they're not getting paid a set rate. Those drivers are getting paid per body.
Well, they're getting paid minimum wage, too, because when I was living in Minnesota and I was looking at jobs down here, I mean, they make Jack, like, $8-$10 an hour. Plus, they're getting paid by the head? Or are you saying Mears is getting paid by the head?
I think the driver probably gets something.
Okay, because I was going to say, there's no way in hell I'm doing that job for $8-$10 an hour. Driving a big bus like that to and from, no way.
No, but if you got an extra, like, $70 per trip.
Yeah, then got, like, yeah, say you're talking these guys are making some decent money.
And then tip on top of it. So, like, say you get a commission of $1 a passenger, and then
you get an average of, like, cash in and out.
Yeah, cash in and out. You could be making, you know, $200 a round trip on that thing.
That's not a bad gig now, Bill.
Right. Now we're talking. Now we're looking at making a little bit of cash here.
That's not a bad gig.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that they were outsourced to Mears.
But I also don't know if they get commission or if that's just how Mears gets paid from Disney.
Okay.
But even still, if they're making like $8-$10 an hour, but if they're getting decent tips on that, like if half the people throw them $1, that's still $50 a trip, $45 a trip, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not bad.
No.
That's still decent wage. Yeah, I did know about that. That's someone I tip... Is there someone that I'm missing that I definitely don't, like, besides mousekeeping, is there an obvious one that I'm just not tipping
that I should be? I would say, maybe, like, concierge, maybe.
Yeah, but I never go there.
I never use concierge.
Like, there's never a time, like, where I've gotten, like, a ride from somebody. Yeah, I can't think of any, like, you're not tipping your resort bus driver, right? Like, when you hop on the bus to the Magic Kingdom, you're not throwing that guy $2 as you get off?
Probably not. It's probably something that I would look into now, though.
But that could add up, though.
Yeah.
You go park hopping for 10 days, you could spend an extra $90 on tips for the bus driver. At that point, you take an Uber.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'd like to hear, like, if people have any specific times where they tip somebody or, like, where they were denied trying to tip somebody. I'd like to hear about that, because like the one that you said really was kind of a surprise to me with the boats. And I wonder if other people have come across that. Like, you know how sometimes you're at Epcot and they have like the janitor and he starts drawing on the ground with the water?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if you tried to give that guy like $5 at the end of it, if he would say, oh no, I can't take it. Or if he would take
it. I'd take it.
Well, of course we would take it. But I wonder if like they're not supposed to. Because then they're just going to sit there all day and draw. Mm-hmm. They're not going to clean up the crap on the ground.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, me and Char are janitors. We're out there drawing all day. Hey, the mudrooms are out of toilet paper. I can't make money putting a toilet paper in the mudrooms.
I got to draw Minnie Mouse. That gives me $1. You don't get tip for Donald Duck. You get tip for Minnie Mouse.
I'm not wasting my time with that crap. Don't make any money off of that.
Did you text him the big stack of bills yet? Or is that next week coming up?
It's in a couple weeks.
Oh, I can't wait. I need to see that whole like text message chain like screen cap.
He was miserable too, because Sunday I worked and it was a complete washout. As soon as it was busy because they were on that golf dot now, so all the cheapskates came out, right?
Oh, no one's tipped.
No one tipped. Carts are trash. Just garbage everywhere. Just crap and beer everywhere, so you really got to hose them down. We just get losers on Sundays. So then it pours, so everybody comes in. I got 35 carts I got to clean up and put away.
Yeah.
I've made $9. Five from balls and two from one of my regulars.
Oh, boy.
So I made seven, you know, five from balls, two from a regular, and then one from somebody and a one from somebody else. So I got to wait for the storm to get out of Dodge. It takes me 2 hours to do all this crap. So I get home at like 5:30. I worked for like 4 hours, made garbage. So Cha texts me on Monday because we got like a little pattern where it's been like 3 or 4 days of this rain showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. So he goes, how did you do yesterday? Now, this is a text, so it didn't really sound like that, but you know.
But it did in your head.
Yeah, in my head. How did you do yesterday? I go, I was there for 4 hours. I made $9. This is not going to be a good week for us. So that's all he thinks about. That's all. Oh, this is not going to be a good week for us. So I text him Monday night. How'd you make out, Cha? Oh, I made like $22. It was a crap.
Oh, he's getting mad.
Now I have Dr. Sean, who's a regular customer of mine.
Yeah,
I have him texting me now.
The one of the golfers?
Yeah. I gave him my number. I'm so bad. He's texting me. Hey, me and my wife are coming out. When should we show up?
Oh God, you're like a drug dealer.
I gotta get rid of like my black book. I'm like the guy that has like all the evidence right there.
You watched Breaking Bad, right?
Yes.
Remember he had like the burner phones? After he'd make the call, he'd snap the phone in half and
yes,
throw in the garbage.
All the time,
that's
yeah.
what you need.
I do need that.
You need the burner phone. That's where you get text from Dr. Sean. You snap it and throw it in the lake as you're driving by.
Yeah, as I'm getting balls or whatever, just throw it in the lake. That's so beautiful. I told Joe, I said, yeah, I got people texting me now. He goes, you're awesome. I've taken it to a next level, haven't I?
You're just going to burn out, you know? You're gonna crash and burn. You're like Urban Meyer. The clock's just ticking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At some point, you're not going to be placed on paid administrative leave. They're just going to kick your ass out.
Well, there's this girl. And they have like this deal where like if you go to this high school you pay $7. So
I think you told me this.
So Dana,
with the rain check?
Yeah. Yeah. So Dana goes, I come in Thursdays. Dana works in the mornings. He goes, you selling to so and so? I just nod my head. He goes, what do you make? $7? I go, yeah. He goes, you doing that for $7? I'm like, he goes, you're crazy. I go, I'm just so bored. Like, I got to do something. I'm like, I just don't care. I'm just so bored.
It's
like,
the hustle.
Just,
it's not
it's
the
just
money.
A game now. Yeah, it's not a matter of $7. It's a matter of just doing it.
It's the hustle. That's ridiculous.
And everybody there is dirty, but then he's just like, wow, he goes, for $7? I go, I'd do it for 3 or 4. I'd undercut.
You're going to undercut
it's
the $7
rate. It's like when they sell stuff at Fenway Park.
It's like, whoa, where are you going? Oh, I'm just paying the $7. I'll give it to you for 4 right here. Go on out. First tee's open.
Oh, boy. I got nothing else, Bill.
Yeah, take us to break.
All right, let's go to break.
You're a rich girl, and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money, you can rely.
rely on the old bad money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Episode 231 is in the books, Mr. Klinsman, joining me up in Westerly, Rhode Island. Hey, we've got a, we've secured a trainer for Rhodey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good.
It's coming to an end.
So he's going to, like, Cesar Millan's going to be coming down?
Yep.
Isn't that what Cesar Millan did?
Yeah, he does like...
Well, it'll be good for him. He's getting to be a big boy now.
Yeah.
Yep. He's past his puppy phase. He needs to start a... hankered down.
Yeah, he's got to mature a little bit. Maybe get like a little girlfriend and live happily ever after.
Yeah, exactly. He's already fixed, so he can have a girlfriend now.
We don't have to worry about
the aftermath.
About little roadies running around all over the place now. We don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. So how's that? Is that like an obedience school or they're going to come to the house?
No, they're coming to the house. We found somebody who came highly recommended from the vet, so.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Because they're actually supposed to, I think, come to the house because they want to see what the routine is, where he goes for walks and all that stuff. So we'll see.
And Goldens are pretty trainable, right? Because they just want to please people.
That's all they want to do. And that's what they said. They said when you don't train them, they're miserable because they don't know.
Right.
And like they want to be very good, but they just, yeah, he just keeps getting in trouble. He just gets in trouble all the time. Like he pulls my Red Sox blanket from in here in the office.
Yeah.
And... you know, he comes and he takes it into the living room and I bring it back and I scold him. And then 20 minutes later, he does the same thing. So today I intercepted him.
Yeah.
And he kind of like gave me that look like, gosh. So he turned around and went in the living room and I went to the bathroom or something. Next thing I hear, I look over, he's got the damn blanket. I mean, he's so determined. He's just, I'm taking a blanket, you know?
Well, it gets your attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny because like I'm starting to give him privileges. Like if I run out for a half hour, 45 minutes, I won't crate him.
Right.
I'll give him the house and just to see how he does. And he's fine when there's nobody around.
Yeah.
But he wants attention. He wants to show off. And he's like a kid, you know?
Yeah. Now you could tell he's good though because he was good with the girls and you said he was good with Marshall and everything.
Yeah, he's real good with kids. He's very good with kids.
So it's not like he's just a big mean dope. He's just a dope.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, he's a nice dope instead of a mean dope, right?
Yeah, he just gets excited and he just does things that he shouldn't, but he doesn't know. He'll know. The trainer will be good for him, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's good. That's good news.
So that's about it, Bill.
Perfect. Well, let's take it home, Bill. You've been doing a good job on our YouTube page lately, by the way.
Yeah, well, you can plug that in a second. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, search for a Support for War podcast. Social media, Twitter, and Facebook, Pour for War Podcast. You can email the show with any show ideas, info@pourforwarpodcast.com. You can email me personally, Mike@pourforwarpodcast.com, Mr. Klinsman
You can email me, Gary@PorFavorPodcast.com, or go to our aforementioned YouTube channel, youtube.com/PorFavorPodcast, I believe. Since last we spoke about it a couple weeks ago, you've put up a Cape May Cafe breakfast review.
Correct.
You put up the Happily Ever After fireworks from your balcony.
Yep.
And you put up the walk around World Showcase in Epcot.
Correct. Yep. So we're getting about two to three a week. So
you're in like early 2016 now. So you're still a ways away. You got a lot of content still.
I've got some content to get up there, Bill.
So that's good. So in about 4.5 years, we'll see the Victoria and Albert's review up there.
Yeah, I didn't take video though.
No, you didn't even do like a review afterwards outside of the.
No. I left it alone. I left it alone. You warned me about that.
Yeah, that would have been a bad move.
You warned me about that. I either wanted to go all in or just nothing. But I got pictures and I've got. Oh, I do have audio.
Ooh.
I did tape record it.
Oh, beautiful.
So yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
Because I was gonna say we could always like go. You and I go and write it off for as a business expense. And then just record the whole thing, bring in the whole crew.
You want to go, don't you?
I'm still on the fence. I haven't heard your review, so I still want to know. I got to wait.
Okay.
Got to wait and see. But that's right up my alley, though, trying all the weird crap.
And it wasn't that weird.
But, like, what they call it, like, oh, micro cilantro on a bed of, you know, this and this with a foam reduction of this and this.
They did this potato thing that they said it takes the chef, like, hours to do.
Oh, really?
Like, it almost looked like candy. Like, he flattened it out and did this, flattened it out and did this, flattened it out and did this. And Chris is like, that's why you pay so much for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then you eat it and half of it dribbles down
your chin.
Yeah,
when they explained what they did, I was like, oh, my God, that's just crazy. That show will be coming up soon.
Very good. I can't wait to hear that.
We've got a month of Grand Floridian stuff to do, so.
Beautiful. Starting next week.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, once we get through with the Grand Floridian, we're going to have a special guest on and do our September trip review. Our preview.
Yes.
Yeah,
that studio, it's a tease, but that studio is just about done from my understanding. They're just putting the last coat of paint up.
Beautiful.
As you know, he did have to move because he outgrew the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he messaged me. He's like, are we going to do a preview? I'm like, relax. Just relax.
Yeah.
Your flights aren't even booked yet, and you're already worried about coming on the show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he just worried about his money.
I get it. All right, bring us home, Bill.
All right, thanks for listening to episode 231 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de los Podcasts. From my cousin up in Westerly, Rhode Island, I'm Dr. Hurley down in sunny South Florida, and we'll talk to you next week.